Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible.
And on today's edition of The Word for Today,
Pastor Chuck continues with the abomination of desolation as we pick up in Mark chapter 13, verse 12.
And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
Now Jesus said, a brother will betray the brother to death, the father the son. The children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. But when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing where it ought not, let him who reads understand. Then let them that are in Judea flee to the mountains. Now Jesus is pleading for understanding of this. In the book of Daniel, chapter 9, he refers to the abomination of desolation. According to my understanding, putting a composite together using Revelation chapter 13, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and Daniel chapters 9 and 12, as I see and understand the abomination of desolation, according to the scriptures, the Jews are going to rebuild their temple. It would seem that the treaties and arrangements for their rebuilding of the temple will be accomplished through a very powerful, wise, astute leader that is going to arise to lead the European community. And that he will make a covenant, Daniel chapter 9, with the nation of Israel. But after 3.5 years, he will break that covenant and he will set up the abomination which causes desolation. In the 12th chapter of the book of Daniel, it says he will cause the daily prayers and oblations to cease. He'll stop the sacrifices that the Jews have reinstituted. According to Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he is going to come to the temple of God and show that he himself is God and demand to be worshiped as God. And he will show all kinds of miracles and signs and wonders so that if possible, he will deceive even the elect. According to the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation, he will cause an image to be made of himself, and this image will be placed within the temple, and people will be required to worship this image. And he has power to put to death those that would refuse to worship the image. So Jesus said, let him who reads understands. When you see the abomination of desolation standing where it ought not, that is the abomination which causes desolation. This is the thing that will cause the desolation or the destruction of the great tribulation period, the last 3.5 years, the whole sequence of this wrath of God being poured out upon man will be triggered by this ultimate blasphemy as this man of sin, the son of perdition, stands in the Holy of Holies of the rebuilt temple in Jerusalem and there blasphemes the God of heaven and declares that he is God and demands to be worshiped as God. That is the final straw of man's rebellion against God, and God will begin his move to judge the world in order that he might establish his new kingdom, the kingdom of righteousness, and joy, and peace. This will be the trigger that will usher in the 3.5 years of the great tribulation period. So Jesus makes reference to it. When you see this abomination of desolation that is spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not. Let him that reads understands, then let them that are in Judea. Notice he's speaking not of the United States. He's not speaking of the church. Those that are in Judea, let them flee to the mountains. And let him that is on the housetop not go down into his house, neither enter to take anything out of his house. Let him that is in the field not even go back again to take up his garment. But woe to them that are with child and to those that are nursing in those days. And pray that your flight will not be in the winter. For in those days there shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of the creation which God created unto this time, neither shall be. This is the time of the greatest tribulation the world will ever know in its history, even worse than the flood of Noah's day, even worse than the destruction of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Never has the world seen anything to equal what is going to transpire during this 3.5-year period. Today, with the strong anti-nuclear movement, all kinds of horrible scenarios are being imagined. The problem is, these scenarios are all possible with the weapons that we have today. Surely a worldwide war with the use of nuclear weapons could bring to pass the whole scenario as is pointed out for us in the book of Revelation. This tremendous devastation. However, this destruction and tribulation that is coming will not necessarily result from man's devices, but is coming as a direct judgment of God upon the earth. And God will be involved in the judgment that is going to fall. Now, those Jews that are in Jerusalem at the time of this abomination of desolation are warned by Jesus to flee to the mountains, and it also in another gospel, flee to the wilderness. In the book of Revelation chapter 12, John talks about the woman, the nation Israel. And he said, and she was given wings of an eagle to bear her to the wilderness, to a place that has been prepared for her, where she will be nourished for 3.5 years. So during the time of the great tribulation, those Jews that heed the warning of Jesus in Judea will flee to the wilderness area that God has prepared for them, where God will provide and take care of them for that 3.5-year period of the great tribulation. In Isaiah, the 16th chapter, God speaks unto Moab, or modern day Jordan, open up your gates and receive my people. Bear them safely to Petra, where they might be sheltered until the great tribulation period is over. And so, again, putting a composite together, using the prophecies of Isaiah out of the Old Testament, the prophecies of the New Testament, the book of Revelation, here in the Gospels, it would appear that when this abomination of desolation takes place, the Jews who, up until that point, many of them have acclaimed this man who helped them rebuild their temple. They've acclaimed him as the Messiah. Suddenly, their eyes will be open and the deception will be over, and they will realize this fellow deceived us. And hopefully, they will turn to the scriptures and they will obey the warning of Jesus and they will flee to the rock city of Petra. Now, according to the book of Revelation, the Antichrist will send out an army after them, but the earth will open up and swallow the army that he sends after them. And God said that he will keep them safe there in Petra until this indignation or the great tribulation period is over. And Jesus said to them, pray that your flight will not be in winter. In Matthew's gospel, he adds, nor on the Sabbath day. And it will be difficult for those women who are pregnant or those who are nursing. Woe unto them. Why? because they're going to have to flee. It's going to be hard. It's going to be a real hardship. And to have small children with you will actually restrict your flight. And it will be difficult. So it's just a woe to those because of the difficulties that they are going to experience during this period. For in those days shall be affliction such as never been in the history of man. And except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, Israel, those whom he hath chosen, he will shorten the days. The Lord speaks here of a period in man's history when, unless the Lord would shorten the days, man would have the capacity of destroying himself. No flesh would remain. But God, for the elect's sake, those who he has chosen, will shorten those days. And then if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not. For false Christ and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. So signs and wonders are not always from God. Many times they can be to seduce a person after a false prophet. But take heed, he said, behold, I have foretold you all things. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light. Here he is referring to that same day that Joel prophesied in chapter 3. Peter quotes in Acts chapter 2. And we read about it in the book of Revelation under the sixth seal. The sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light. The stars of heaven shall fall, a meteorite shower, and the powers that are in the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Oh, glorious day. After the tremendous Holocaust, when the world is almost destroyed, the glorious return of Jesus Christ coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And he shall send his angels, and they will gather the elect, the Jews, actually, from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of the heaven. This, of course, is a reference to the prophecies there in Isaiah. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you, in like manner, when you shall see these things come to pass, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. In the Old Testament, in parables, the fig tree was a reference to the nation of Israel. In Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter, God likens the nation of Israel to a basket of rotten figs that are so rotten that they have no value, only to be thrown away and destroyed, chapter 24 of the book of Jeremiah. And then over in Hosea, the 9th chapter and the 10th verse, God makes again a reference to the nation of Israel as a fig tree, where the Lord declares, I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as the first ripe in the fig tree at her first time. And then in Joel chapter 1 and verse 7, God, in crying out against the destruction that had taken place of the nation, he said, he hath laid my vine waste and barked my fig tree. So Israel was likened unto a vine in the parables, but also likened unto a fig tree. So that when you see the branches yet tender and beginning to put forth leaves, you know that summer is near, even know that my coming is near, even at the doors. Many Bible scholars believe that this reference is to the rebirth of the nation of Israel, and that that generation that saw the rebirth of the nation Israel would be the final generation. I think that there is great validity in that interpretation. Now Jesus declares how his word is going to stand. Heaven and earth will pass. The Bible tells how that the heavens are going to be folded up and the earth is going to melt with a fervent heat. But my words, he said, shall not pass away. The eternal word of God. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Jesus, as we said, when he came to the earth, took upon himself limitations. Deliberately took upon himself limitations. He was God manifested in the flesh, but by virtue of coming in a body of flesh, while he was in the body of flesh, he could not be omnipresent. He was restricted, as is a body of flesh, to locality. And there were other restrictions that he took while in a body. And there was a restriction in actually the knowledge of the day that he would return. He said, I don't even know that. No man knows it. Only the Father. Now that he is glorified again with the Father, he no doubt knows it. But while in the restrictions of the body, that was a part of the restriction while existing here on the earth in a body. It is sheer folly and presumption for any man to pretend that he has some divine revelation or some insight into the Scripture where he knows the day and the hour that the Lord is coming. Even though the Lord is so specific in this area, there are always those speculators who seem to be able to gather some kind of a following after them because they've set out on some system of interpreting of the Scriptures whereby they feel that they have interpreted the very day for the return of Jesus Christ. Back in 1843 or so, Reverend Miller, by using the book of Daniel and taking the 2,550 days and making it 2,550 years instead of days, though the Scripture said days, somehow he translated the days to years, and he came up with the year of 1843. That's when, you know, the abomination took place, and so until that time, 2,550 years instead of days, there will be the cleansing. Well, he didn't bother to look at his history book and find out that exactly 2,550 days was when Judas Maccabeus actually cleansed the temple, and that prophecy was literally fulfilled to a day. And there is no merit or basis of making a day-year concept there, yet he did. And so he had his faithful put on white robes, and back in Zion, Illinois, they went out and they sat on the hillside waiting for Jesus to return. They were certain of it. And, of course, in recent times, there have men who like to get their names in newspapers who have predicted the date of the coming of Christ and gotten the people all excited. A few years ago, people were giving me tapes by some fellow that had predicted April the 1st of 1978, I think it was, for the coming of Christ. And then last year, that fellow down in Tucson who had it all doped out to June the 30th, you know, last year. And yet Jesus said, no man knows the day or the hour. So what are we supposed to do? He said, just take heed, watch and pray, because you don't know when the time is. Because the Lord can be coming for us at any time, the best advice is just watch and pray. Be ready. Take heed. Be ready. You don't know when it's going to happen. For the Son of Man is as a man who is taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants. And to every man his apportioned work. And he commanded the porter to watch. Therefore he said, you watch, for you know not when the master of the house is coming, at even or midnight or when the cock is crowing in the morning. Watch, lest he come suddenly and he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. So what Jesus is saying to you is watch. Be ready. You don't know exactly when he is coming. He may come at evening, he may come at midnight, he may come in the early morning. Because you don't know, just be watching and be ready.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Mark on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Mark 13 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord bless and guide your life this week. May the Lord give you a very strong impression to lead you into His path of righteousness. May the love of Christ just fill your heart and overflow, that lives around you might be touched because of what the Lord has done for you. May you be His witnesses, a testimony to others by the love of Christ shines forth from you.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
Every year, Pastor Chuck used to give a prophecy update to prepare Christians to be ready to give an answer to anyone who wants to know what the Bible says about the future. And right now, The Word for Today would like to offer you resources that will help you comprehend and unravel the scriptures that pertain to prophecy, such as Pastor Chuck's commentary on the book of Revelation, or a collection of DVDs that relate to Israel, the rapture, and the Holy Spirit in the last days. I encourage you as fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to become informed about what the Bible says about the soon return of Jesus Christ, and to be able to share your faith with others. For more information about resources concerning biblical prophecy, call The Word for Today at 800-272-WORD or visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.